It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Hey, welcome, Fairbanks. It is Saturday in Fairbanks, Alaska, and we are talking all stuff outdoors. And this week, we're gonna talk a little bit about the history of jet boating. There's a couple of places on the planet that specialize in early jet boating, Lewiston, Idaho being kind of the center of the earth when it comes to early jet boating. I've talked a lot about my grandfather in the late 40s up in Fairbanks, and he was developing the portable lift before the jet unit, which came out in like 59 or 60, late 50s, early 60s. But Lewiston, Idaho is kind of the aluminum boat building capital of the world. It has been for many years. A lot of boat manufacturers that we sell boats for have come from that area. And there's just a lot of neat history down there, down on the Snake River and Clearwater and those rivers down there. And my guest today is Bill King. Bill, who drives, who hauls our boats up for us on a regular basis. And I think, were you born, Bill?
Yeah, I'm from Lewiston.
Okay, you're from Lewiston.
1955.
Wow, see, now that's going back before the jet boat, right?
Yeah, actually, they had sails and oars back in the early days.
Well, I've never heard the whole story, and I'm sure you know some parts of it, but that whole river area, that Snake River and that area, before the there was a lot of mining going on there, wasn't there?
Well, they actually tried to build a dam in Hell's Canyon at one point. And before the jet boats, before the aluminum jet boats got to be a big thing in Lewiston area, people ran the Hell's Canyon in plastic boats. My dad had a friend. Well, I've been as far as you can go up Hell's Canyon in a fiber form fiberglass boat with a 455 Olds in it and a Berkeley jet, one of the very first jets that was ever made. And that was how they did it. And the guys that did it knew what they were doing because any kind of screw up, you were done.
Yeah, yeah. There's no recovering from. There's no other boat there to pull you out over to the bank.
No, there was very few, very, very few people that would, you know, go up and even try to rescue.
And so that's how long is the Snake River, you know?
Well, the Snake River itself starts in Wyoming.
Right.
So the part that you can actually navigate, you can navigate from Lewiston south to Hell's Canyon Dam. I mean, the upper stretches of the river. I have never been to the actual dam. I've probably been within, I don't know, 20 miles of it or so. And I would imagine that it's a good 60 miles or so. So, you know, and a lot of guys will still go up there. Now there's some certain things going on now. The state of Oregon has given priority to the rafters and that sort of thing. And the rafting got to be a real big deal. And there was some times when the rafters and the jet boaters they couldn't see eye to eye, and people had to make room for each other. So not quite like Alaska is, where you got more wide open spaces. There's a lot more people there.
Sure.
But Norm Riddle's actually the guy that the
godfather.
He's a godfather of jet boating, and I worked for a motorcycle shop in 1971. I think I was 16 years old, and Norm had just sold it to a guy named Roger Becker because he wanted to build jet boats. And my first job at the motorcycle shop was setting up motorcycles, Honda motorcycles. And it was a dingy old back room, kind of a barn kind of thing. And on the other end of that, underneath of the single, I want to make this sound as romantic as possible, under a single light bulb was Norm Riddle building a jet boat. And he'd yell at me, "Hey, come over here and hold this, you know. Don't look at the bright flash." And I could go over there and hold it, you know. And
look
and
at the bright flash.
Say a couple of bad words we can't say on the radio, and then cut it off and start over again. So that's kind of how it started. And it grew from, you know.
He was just doing a boat at a time.
He was just doing a boat. It was just him. He was just doing a boat at a time. And I would imagine that selling the motorcycle shops probably what got him going.
Right.
You know, and in 1970, I think, when he the funny thing is, I was just down in Lewiston for the last boatload, I ran into the guy that bought the shop from him, and it was May 5th, 1970, when he bought the shop from Norm. So I'm imagining that would have been probably the money, the revenue
right.
that he put together to, you know.
Why did he get out of the motorcycle business?
He wanted to build boats.
That was
this guy always wanted to build boats.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, who else was building boats down there at the time.
Well, at that time, it was just him.
Yeah.
But then there's been everything in Lewiston, Idaho, as far as boats are concerned, everything stemmed from Norm Riddle.
Yeah.
Everything did.
Yeah.
You know, the Marty Hallberg, who went to work for he started Custom Weld. He worked for Norm Riddle. Steve Stokowski, yeah, who
Phantom and
builds
SJX,
Phantom and SJX, at one time worked for Doug Riddle, who
yep.
worked for Norm, so it all sort of...
Doug is his son, who runs right. the shop right now, Riddle Marine.
Well, he actually runs MotoJet.
Or MotoJet, yeah.
Yeah, he sold Riddle Marine, but they kept the name.
He's
yeah.
got the small yeah. jet boats, yeah.
So and there was a couple other guys. There was Hudson, and there was, if I can bring it to mind here, the guy that built all of the big tour boats, Bents.
Yeah.
He was sort of not in on that, but he came along a lot later, and his designs were more industrial as
right.
compared to the...
He built 30, 40-footers, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, that you'd have a
ones?
Whole bunch of people in.
Right, tour boats.
You know, they weren't really for pleasure craft, for a guy to park in his driveway kind of thing, sure. you know. So the boating business down there went from zero to everything in about... Well, I don't know. I guess it's 50 years. It's kind of hard yeah. to believe it's been that long.
And, of course, there's the aluminum plant in Spokane, which is only a few hours from...
2 hours away.
Two hours away from Lewiston. So that's one of the reasons that's why that's the center of the earth as far as jet boating. And, of course, the jet boats, they do a lot of commercial running on the Snake, right? So they have a lot of those boats are twin-engine setups. You don't
twin-engine
see so much...
Twin-engine stick drive.
Stick drive, yeah. So explain that.
Well... I was always a guy that ran a boat that had a steering wheel in it, but the stick drive is more like flying an airplane. You know, you push the stick forward. I'm so clueless on this, I don't even know which way is which, but you push the stick forward to steer one way, you pull it back to steer yeah. the other way. In the center is straight on. And I guess you get more response if you're trying to dodge a rock or a boulder. I've been in a couple of those boats where the operator was really getting into it to show, kind of showing off about how fast he could maneuver the boat, and I can see the point behind it. I don't think your regular pleasure boat owner would want to have anything quite like that.
Yeah, no, you know? We sold one boat that had the stick steering in it. A customer that wanted to buy one of the old Sport Johns wanted stick steering in there, so we did it, and I went up the Good Pastor with him. I didn't care for it, but you need stick time, I guess.
You have, some of those had three V8 engines in them. I mean, trying yeah. to buy gas for those now would be, oh, I mean, you would imagine that, you know, you have like 20 people in there. They're paying a lot more now than they were 20 years ago to go up the river.
How is the, do you keep track, how is the that commercial tourism industry doing in that area?
Well, that area down there has slack water behind the Snake River dams, which politicians, and this is a whole nother program, are trying to get rid of the dams, you know, because
yeah.
we don't need to be producing electricity
no.
for all of these electric cars. We don't need to produce electricity for all of these electric cars we're going to plug in.
Yeah.
So why would we want to have a hydroelectric dam or any
sure.
way to make electricity? You know, I can understand that. But right now, all of those dams have locks in them. So, you know, they navigate for grain and logs and chips and what have you to Lewiston. Well, also lately, they've had cruise ships come in there. And they're pretty good-sized cruise ships. And then those cruise ships, everybody will get off the boat and stay in a hotel. And then the next morning, they'll jump on one of these big Hell's Canyon tour boats and up the river they go. And there's a lot of them running. So I think they're doing better than they used to as far as that's concerned. Because I think you might have a lot of people that retired early because they're tired of the garbage that's going on, and they're going to spend their money and they're going to travel, and that's a good place to go, and it's rather safe, you know.
And some of those that surprises me because I imagine a lot of the people on the tour ship are 70 plus years old. And then you get them, and you see where they're going through those rapids. They go up. Do they go into the nasty stuff?
Well, those boats are so long. And this time of year, the waters. I've been up there in one of those boats in the spring of the year, and it's just like it's like riding across a lake, because the water. There's so much water coming down that canyon that it covers up a lot of the real rough stuff. And for the most part, it's not all that bad.
Okay.
And those boats are so big. And the guys that are running them run them every day, and they know exactly where everything is. It's not really as bad as you'd think. Now, you want to put somebody into a 19-foot boat, there you're going to have a kind of a
sure.
rough ride.
You watch the videos when they're going through the worst rapids in there. The boat, a lot of those boats look like they're going about 4 or 5 miles an hour up through there. Because the current, what is the knot? What's the speed of that water? Oh. God, it's just wicked fast.
Yeah. When I ran, I had a little 19-foot, basically it was a race boat. You've seen the boat. I still have it. It's parked in my backyard in Soldotna, Alaska. It's more or less been marooned in Alaska.
A 20-footer?
It's a 19-foot Pacer. It was built in New Zealand, and it's got a 400 Chevy engine in it. That boat has been clear up to the Minnehaha Rapids, and that was one of the things about running past the Oregon line. Oregon, Washington, Idaho on the other side. Once you go past Oregon, you have to have that boat never had mufflers on it. It just had the water jacketed exhaust. And once you got up past Oregon, you were at the mercy of the man.
Yeah.
Because the man could come by and write you a ticket for not having mufflers on it. So, a lot of times the guys that ran, I wasn't the only guy that ran my boat. There was a couple other guys that would borrow it. Well, because I was in Alaska, and my boat was sitting in my dad's backyard, and they'd go up the river with it, and they just ran the checkpoint. So
sure. So that's a boat. Is a lot of guys run a boat like that on the river there?
Or? Well, the problem with a real low transom
sides.
On that is real low,
yeah.
And if you get into one of those rapids and the boat quits, you're done. The back of the boat's going to go down. It's going to get swamped because of the weight of the V8 engine. A lot of those race boats, that's what would happen to them. There's one at the bottom of the Time Zone Bridge on the Salmon River during a Salmon River race that many years ago, the boat quit, and the river, that Salmon River is really wicked right in there,
yeah.
And the boat sunk, and that was it.
So the Payette River, they still do the race. There was a big jet boat races for years on the Payette. People would sit on the bank, thousands of people.
Yeah, I don't know. The boat racing thing sort of faded away. The big thing they do now down there is sprint boat racing, where they actually have a track set up. And the funny thing about it is there's one in St. John, Washington, which is basically out in a farmer's field, and they dug a canal with a bunch of S-corners in it. And
700 horse motors.
Yeah,
the
and they run these
pumps,
yeah, with a 12-foot boat with a big V8 engine in it.
Yeah. Watch those roll bars.
Yeah, and they used to do those in Lewiston, and the NIMBYs got mad because of the noise, and
right.
And the one of them came out of the water and hit one of the spectators.
Oh,
and they ended it.
Yeah,
it wasn't a serious fatal injury on that particular one, but a couple of years ago they were doing the Snake River race, and a guy that. I think he owned a Honda shop down there. He actually got killed in the race. So I think they.
I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've watched some of. When they kite and they're just gone.
He went up on the rocks.
Yeah.
And flipped over and went up on the rocks, and that was it for him.
Yeah.
So it's not all fun and games.
No, it's pretty serious, and those are big horsepower boats. And
yeah.
Well, that's an interesting area. I've boated there. I've done some sturgeon fishing there. We'll talk a little bit about the sturgeon fishing after the break. But that is some. That's a whole different way to fish. I fished with Steve from SJX Boats up there, and I could not believe the current on the bottom of that river and what it does with your lure and everything. And I swear I've got a fish on there. And then when you get one, I think we caught a 7-foot, 4-inch sturgeon while we were down there. And it's just an amazing to bring those fish up. They're 100 years old, right?
Oh yeah, they're prehistoric.
Yeah.
We've rafted down the Salmon River, and on those inflatable rafts, you basically have your 1 foot out in the water and your other is inside, and there's like three people on each side. And we actually had a sturgeon roll up in front of the boat, just to sun itself, and went back down. And there's some people there from California that just absolutely lost it. They jumped back in the boat.
That's great. Hey, we're talking with Bill King, and we're talking all about Lewiston, Idaho, sturgeon fishing and jet boating. We'll be back after this break and talk some more.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compos. Bob Compos Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compos' passion for getting you outdoors. and away from the rat race, and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right, and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly, and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
Hey, Fairbanks, we are talking jet boats, Lewiston, Idaho, and fast water with Bill King. Bill also hauls our boats up here from Idaho, does a lot of other truck driving. He's got his own business. He's based in Soldotna. And his dad, starting in the mid-'96 or so, '97, started hauling boats for us. Martin.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Martin King. Was that Martin Luther?
No, not quite.
Okay, yeah. No, it wasn't Martin Luther King. But no, Martin was a great old boy. Real character. I don't know how we lost him about 10 years ago.
2004.
Oh, I don't know. 18
Yeah, he was affectionately, in the Lewiston, Idaho area, he was affectionately known as Old Poop. Can we say that on the radio?
Yeah, I think we can say that on the radio. Yeah.
There's a lot of things we can say now.
Yeah. So what got him into the hauling boats? I mean, what was his...
Boredom.
Boredom? What did he do before that?
Well, he worked in construction. He worked on the pipeline.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, he hauled 80-foot pipe out of Valdez to start with. And being a guy that's got into the trucking business, he taught me how to drive a semi on the... I learned on the haul road. I didn't go to truck driving school. I learned how to drive a semi on the haul road.
They were short drivers, right?
Well, this is in 1981. This was long after the pipeline was over with. But, I'd go down to Valdez every once in a while and look up there at the old road thing, and those guys are hauling 80-foot pipe on that goat trail.
Yeah.
So, wow. So, anyway, you know, this is like old truckers never die.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's more to that joke, but you know, this is a family program.
Well, He was a stodgy, I guess it'd be a good name, stodgy old guy. You know, I got along great with him, but he always brought the boats, almost always brought the boats up in perfect condition. One little mishap in, 1,000 boats or something. But he started hauling our boats, a little history on this SJX and previously the Sport John. We were selling, I think I've told the story on the radio before, but we were selling the outboard version of the Sport John, which is called the Big John or the Big Bad John, and it was a 21 or 24-foot boat, same exact boat. It had a tunnel hull with an outboard jet, and I remember it was in 98. We had Steve and his gang from Phantom up the river, up the Kandick River, and we were discussing, hey, Merck's got this new, you know, V6 jet. It was a 175 at the time. Has anybody ever tried to put one of those on a tunnel? You know, it's light enough. You could put it on a tunnel and not crush anything if you hit something on the bottom. And they hadn't done it, so I bought that prototype engine, had it shipped to Lewiston, where they installed it in a boat in 98. In the meantime, Martin had been hauling all the outboard hauls up for us. Well, that thing worked so well, we knew right away, we don't care about outboard jets anymore.
Right.
Of course, my family was real involved with the development of that, financed the guy basically in 1960. But it was so impressive, so we had a bunch of those hulls in stock, And once the Sport Jet came out, the Sport John, we couldn't give those things away. You know, once people rode in both, they wanted. So we had Martin, your dad, haul them back to Idaho, and they refitted them with the inboard jet. And of course, he hauled those up. But I can't remember how many he used to haul at a time.
Well, he's the one that came up with the idea of putting a boat on top of a pickup.
Oh yeah,
so
that's right.
He would haul to start with. We had a 20-foot pull trailer that has actually outlasted a Ford F-250, a Dodge 2500, and two Dodge one tons. Still have the same trailer.
Wow!
And he'd stack, I don't know, half a dozen of the hulls nested together. Now, when we were, and I ended up taking the thing over back in 2001. You know, I mean, he was 81 years old,
right.
And still running the Alcan Highway, which was sort of crazy, because you know, back then the road wasn't near as good as it is now.
Yeah.
And which there's a lot of people out there that say, what's good now? What are you talking about?
Should have seen it then.
Yeah, you should have seen it then. So I think you could haul three. We were hauling a boat and a trailer. So we're putting two on the trailer. We had racks made so you
right.
could stack one on top of the other one, then one on top of the pickup. So we were hauling three at a time.
Yeah.
So I think the most of the time I ever hauled, I hauled five. Because I had a bigger trailer and I was able to stack them three high. I did
right.
it three high without trailers, three high on the pull trailer. I guess it was four. Three high on the pull trailer and one on top of the truck. So, you know, but that got to be a little unwieldy because it was so high. So now we use a semi. And we put one on top of the semi, and then usually I could put as many as four more on the trailer, or what we've been doing is stack of trailers
right.
that are banded together and then put a boat on top of each
right.
one. It keeps the boat way, way, way up off the road. You know, there's not anywhere near as much gravel and dirt and mud as there used to be, so, I mean, like after this last trip, the boats are clean.
Right, they're always clean. They're in good shape. You do a good job bringing them up. The one thing that... Well, like these boats you brought up this last Wednesday, they were we have six boat trailers, two stacks or 12 boat trailers, two stacks of six. You got a boat on each one of those. Got a couple of four meat wagons. Got a boat up on top. And with the price of fuel, that's about the only way to decently get them up here anymore. Because to ship a boat by itself, like from Lewiston up to Seattle, is probably at least $1,200 now. Then you've got to ship it on the barge. It's got to be $4,500 a boat to get it to Fairbanks.
You do realize I haven't given you my bill yet.
Yeah, I know. I know. And you've always been really good, Bill, about consolidating as much stuff. I think a good trucker knows that you don't just haul the load up. If you can get extra stuff in there, it helps everybody out, right? It helps spread the load of those boats. They're more sellable. There's going to be more boats coming up the road. You know.
Funny thing was at the border, at the Alaska Yukon Canada border yesterday, there were a couple of they were probably interns that were asking questions about, you know, everybody's concerned about what body of water a boat has been in as to whether you're bringing in any kind of noxious weeds or what have you into Alaska, which
sure.
I would think that any noxious weed from the lower 48 wouldn't survive 10 minutes in Alaska, but whatever.
Yeah.
You have to have a job.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
There wasn't a box on their form to fill out as to brand new boat. Because they're asking me, okay, well, where have these boats been in the water? I said, well, they've been tested.
Yeah.
Well, what body of water? Well, Clearwater River. Well, the Clearwater River is so clean, you can see every rock in the bottom of
right.
it. Right. And they went through their whole entire list of rivers that had a potential problem. They go, oh, there's no problem with the Clearwater River. It's like, well, I could have told you that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful river. But it just seemed kind of odd that, you know, first off, there wasn't a whole lot of boats being towed up the Alcan Highway that I saw from, you know, just regular pleasure craft being towed behind a pickup.
Sure.
You know, right now the upper part of the road is extremely rough. You better have a good trailer. You better have everything bolted together real good if you're going to be driving around.
What's caused that? Is it just lack of maintenance?
No, it's just every year the road, especially between Northway and probably the Don Jack River, which is south of Beaver Creek, the road always goes to pot. You know, there's spots that are pretty good, and there's
kinda
a lot
like 16-mile Chino Hot Springs Road.
Yeah.
You just never fix it. You can't fix it.
There's, you know, I mean, like right now between Beaver Creek and the border, it's mostly just gravel. They've torn up what chip seal was there. And then once you hit Alaska, you know, between the Alaska border and Northway. Well, nobody does anything. So it's, you know, it's just, oh, yeah, it's like it was 4 years ago. But the, but listen, everybody, if you haven't been down there lately, you're going to be happy to know that no matter how rough the road is, there's going to be some new three-lane sections of the Alaska Highway that, you know, that nobody will probably use because the 65-mile-an-hour speed limit on that road is a misnomer anyway because there's no way you could drive that fast. But, you know, it's a nice place to spend money.
So you you probably get a lot of, you know, a lot of these new boats have got crazy graphics on the side. They're wrapped boats. You know, they can have some. You must get a lot of people come up and talk to you. You probably can't get away from them.
No.
You have a burger somewhere.
Well, like yesterday, we parked at the hotel last night, and there was a tourist out there taking pictures of the truck. The truck was there with, unhooked from the trailer just with the boat on top of it, and people were looking at it and probably wondering. Usual question that I get is, well, how do you launch that? And the usual answer is, I get, well, you know what? I just backed that thing into the river way deeper than everybody else, and it's not a problem. Boat comes right off.
Yeah. Then you say, you're not from around here, are you?
So, you know, no, I do get a lot of looks. And
what about, I mean, you put a lot of miles on over the years. Have you ever figured out how many? I don't know how many miles you got, but, you know.
20 years of hauling boats, I'm sure.
I don't see a lot
couple million bucks worth of boats, maybe more than that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know.
I don't see a lot of blood on the front of your truck. You don't have a lot of incidents with deer and stuff through Canada? Or
well, you know what? I'm not hauling boats. I haul groceries. And I did, and about three trips ago, I've had this moose bumper on my truck for 10 years. And the very first time I used it was in B.C., British Columbia, in a and an unlucky deer decided to run out in front of me from the side at about, and I was doing about, you know, 100 clicks, 62 miles an hour, and whack, that was it.
Where do you see most of the game still through BC or, you know, there's the sheep.
A lot of black bears on Highway 37 in British Columbia. I mean, not as many, you know, we didn't mention this trip that I didn't see near as many as I usually do. Moose, pretty much, you know, the random moose everywhere. A lot of deer in British Columbia.
Stone sheep?
I don't go through Stone Mountain. So, the only sheep that you see is at Kluane Lake.
Okay.
And you can that visitor center there, you can look upon the mountain and you can see them. Now, it was pretty low, a lot of low clouds. It was raining there when we came up. Unlike here in Fairbanks, it was a downpour in that part.
Any fires along the way?
Not smoky like here. British Columbia is not like it was last year. They've had a ton of rain and everything there is green. So it all needs to be mowed. So
we got a couple minutes left. What have you seen change the most, you know, between when you started, what year, 91, 92?
Well, I started trucking actually in 81.
81.
But I ran the haul road. Well, basically, there's a whole lot more regulation. I get pulled into the TOC scale for a random inspection, which I must brag a little bit and say that I've always had a perfect inspection. But I've been pulled in like six times in the last 8 months.
So your advice to somebody thinking of getting into the trucking
business?
Better
have your act together.
Yeah.
And actually, I got pulled over in Washington State on I-5 because a state trooper saw an Alaska license plate on the semi. I was bobtail, which means just the tractor only. And Alaska license plates on a semi are no good in Washington. They're no good anywhere but in Alaska. So he pulled me over because it's a $1,200 fine if I don't have the right credentials. Well, I walked around to the front of the truck. Oh, yeah, there's $3,500 worth of license plates on there. This guy must be good. But we'll do a level three on you anyway. Yeah. That's the inspection.
It's not a prostate exam? Or
no, close? No. It's all awful close. And he comes back kind of laughing, and he goes, those guys at TOC Junction must really like you because it comes up on the computer, all of the inspections I've had, and I've had just a ton of them.
Yeah.
You know, I said, well, yeah, here's a book of these that I have stapled together. And basically, right now, the difference is that there's not that many trucks running on in Alaska, but you still have the same number of guys that are doing the inspections and they want to keep their job. But that's a whole other conversation for another day.
Yeah,
it doesn't do anything about selling boats.
Well, it's no different than the rest of the government. Just more regulation making business harder, and that's just the way it is. But well, Bill, thanks for coming on. Bill King, Lewiston resident for many years, hauling boats for us now and doing a great job. Good to have you on the show.
And part-time radio announcer.
Yeah, there you go. I knew that voice. I heard that voice somewhere before. All right. Fairbanks, another edition of the Compo Outdoor Show. Tune in next Saturday, and we'll talk some more about everything outdoors.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.